In 2004, when my partner Rick and I left California with our 10-month-old baby and a car filled to capacity with all we needed to survive our first few months in Massachusetts, we included a passport for our daughter. It was not that we anticipated leaving the country, but rather that we felt it necessary to have proof that this beautiful African-American child was indeed ours. Two white men who were commonly mistaken to be siblings rather than spouses. We feared that some well-meaning citizen who, after viewing a few too many episodes of America's Most Wanted, would observe our family, not understand its makeup, and alert the local authorities. The passport, a photo ID that showed Audrey's hyphenated last name, a combination of our two names, would act as proof as to her parentage. As we traveled across the country, we were approached often, usually with curiosity, consistently with understanding, always with kindness. Our fears were unfounded. The fear of being judged had led us to judge a random group of Americans of whom we had no knowledge. As new parents, we felt as if we were entering the wilderness alone and needed to be guarded. We were leaving the safe familiarity of Berkeley, California, crossing the physical and cultural unknown enormity of our country to finally reach our destination, civilized, open-minded, progressive Massachusetts. Throughout our journey, we felt completely and utterly accepted. In my heart, I feel it was the bond of our family, the love we shared for each other and our baby, that made our family unit cohesive and bold and able to navigate this wilderness. Our bond also seemed to make others take notice, see themselves within us, and embrace us. When the Sanctuary in the City Task Force began programming the field trips we call Adventures in Art, Culture, and the Environment, our purpose was to bring together Old Southers outside the walls of our church. Our goal was to explore the greater context within which we come together as a congregation. When we embark as a group, our affiliation, our bond, makes us stronger. And when it attracts attention, we are embraced. Whatever activity we take on, we do it as a group with a bond of fellowship, our fellowship as members of Old South. That is our foundation, that thing that makes us a unit. We each have our own individual, sometimes private relationship with Old South, but the existence of each of these relationships makes us a unit. We hold in common our commitment to the church and our willingness to walk together. Old South acts as a portal through which all of us are able to enter Boston. By coming together as a congregation and exploring the city around us, we are able to see it through the lens that our commitment to one another provides. The spiritual journey that we are on together allows us to explore the life outside the walls of the church with the shared perspective we gain from one another. One of our adventures took us to the Islamic Center of Boston. As we were guided through the mosque, I was taken aback by the theological questions asked by members of our group and the spirit in which they were asked. As we learned about Islam, we identified our shared motivations and shared sense of community. On a personal level, I also came away with something else. My family would not likely have found our way to the Islamic Center. It wasn't on our short list of must-see Boston destinations, or maybe we considered it another wilderness that would not understand the makeup of our family, the form that our lives take. But in this instance, we weren't traveling alone. We were traveling as Old South, and our guard need not be up. I like the phrase sanctuary in the city, as I find it accurately describes how I feel about Old South, a sanctuary. I invite you to join us on our adventures. Join us as we wrap ourselves in the cloak of this sanctuary and allow it to affect how we embark upon our explorations in the world beyond these walls.
So I've been coming out lately, and I have to say it's been really difficult, both coming out to others, some of whom don't seem to think so highly of me anymore, and coming out to myself, which means being part of a group that I haven't had the best experience with. And though some people in my life are genuinely happy, most would prefer that I just keep this private. They don't want to know how I came to this realization, and they haven't expressed any interest in coming to church with me. See, I'm not talking about coming out as gay. I did that already about 20 years ago. And that process was about as seamless and as much of a celebration as this one is challenging. See, I found it easier to come out as gay than I'm finding it to come out as a Christian. Now, I started life as a Christian, like really Christian, in love with God Christian, go to seminary and become a campus minister Christian. And it's a really long story, the slow descent from there through worlds inhabited by people who would take our scripture and harden and sharpen it into a tool to hurt others, all in the name of Jesus. People who trade spiritual get-out-of-jail-free cards for their own political gain and wealth. People who invoke a deity that doesn't even resemble the God that I grew up in relationship with. By the time I graduated seminary, I was an ex-Christian. I was an atheist, and one without a very high regard for Christians. I'm not exactly sure when it was that I became aware of this feeling of being searched for, but I do know that I realized about 3 years ago that when I was younger, when I was in love with God, my life was full of color. It was alive with song and suffused with meaning. And I realized that since leaving behind everything I'd ever known about religion, that I'd also left behind the meaning in my life. I found myself yearning for something that I didn't think existed and began searching for something, honestly, I never thought I'd find. I began reopening my life to God's love, but it was a secret from everyone in my life, and it was actually making me feel terribly lonely. So I began looking for a community, church shopping, I called it. But each church that I visited left me cold. And then, so when I was in 10th grade in church one day, we sang this hymn, and this hymn's melody reached deep into my heart and held me there. And it never departed. All these decades, from the highs of my love affair with God to seminary and through the dark winter of my spiritual life, this melody has always remained. I'd hear it sometimes when I was alone and quiet, singing to me from deep inside my own heart. But only the melody. I couldn't remember the name of the hymn or any of the lyrics, so I could never find it again. And on Sunday, February 19th of this year, I still have the program, I walked in this church for the first time. And the hymn that the choir processed in singing was that hymn. You were singing my melody, a song planted in my heart by God years ago, but which I couldn't find because I only had part of it. I had to wait and let it find me. It's hymn number 182, by the way. So, back to coming out. It was love at first sight, Old South Church and me. I started coming here most Sundays. I came to a new members class. I would sit with Ron and Nancy and talk about the gospel and faith. And I officially joined in June, Gay Pride weekend, as it turned out. But none of that required any courage on my part. And so, this summer, I made it really official. I put it on Facebook. Since I joined Facebook, my religious views have read long story. And this summer I changed it to Old South Church, United Church of Christ, which meant that Facebook would have alerted every one of my Facebook friends to. It sounds really silly, but I wasn't brought here on February 19th to sit here Sunday after Sunday and keep you and us a secret. Coming out is called coming out for a reason. So why come out as Christian? I'm coming out as Christian because there's a lot of people out there with opinions about Christians that are just as unflattering as mine had been, and we can't leave them there. There are people who don't know that the conversation about what Christianity is going to look like in the 21st century and how we are going to manifest the gospel is an ongoing conversation. A conversation that 20 years ago I turned my back on, heartbroken, but that here at Old South, the colors and the music and the meanings and all of you, the people here, brings that vision of Christianity alive again. And I suddenly want to be part of that conversation again, hence my coming out. It's a testament to Old South Church that I think I actually might even be proud to be a Christian again.
I grew up in the rural South, raised by a very devout Baptist grandmother. Nearly every Sunday off I went with her to church. But growing up Baptist meant your entire Sunday was spent at church. Sunday school at 9, service at 11, lunch prepared by the deaconess at 1, and then an afternoon service at 2. By the time I went off to college, I was so over church. I would rather sleep in after a late night on Saturday than drag myself to church. After I moved to New York City, I still found no need to attend church. I had come out as a gay man a few years earlier, and according to my Baptist upbringing, I was condemned to hell. I struggled with this concept and wondered if my very salvation was in peril. After all, I had no one else telling me anything different. My heart and mind was telling me that God loved me just as I am. Yet the Baptist church was preaching something totally different. Then I met and fell in love with Tim. Tim is the son of a preacher. His father and mother, Bill and Lee Longman, brought him up in the church. Church was very important to his family. So we started to attend a UC church in upstate New York. The warm embrace by this congregation made me feel so welcome. So I got involved in the church, and church once again became an important part of my life. Fast forward a few years to 2006, we moved to Boston because I accepted a position at Harvard University working for American Repertory Theater as the company manager. Tim and I started our search for a church where we both would feel welcome and appreciated. We attended one church 10 times, but never felt comfortable. The congregation was not welcoming, and each time the pastor would ask us at the door, "Is this your first time?" As a gay interracial couple, we're not that hard to remember. We then found our way to Old South. One of the first things I noticed was the writing above the entrance of the church portico. "Behold, I have set before thee an open door." And during one of Quinn's first services that we attended, I fondly remember Quinn in a welcoming statement and what Nancy recited earlier, "No matter who you are, no matter where you are on life's journey, you are welcomed here." After hearing Nancy preach a sermon that moved me to tears, I knew Tim and I had found our church home, a vibrant and diverse congregation, deeply engaged in Christian life. And when Bill Adams remembered my name and welcomed me after only seeing me twice, I knew, as they say in the South, these are good people. We joined a year later. We were married by Quinn the following year. And our daughter Emily was baptized a year later. By now, I felt I wanted to get more involved, but with my work schedule and the life as a new father, I didn't know if I could commit to being more active. However, Nancy and the leadership committee asked me to join Faith at the Crossroad. I supported the church's call to the vision for the 21st century. Even though I didn't know what it truly meant, I knew the church was embarking on a journey that would inform and guide our ministry through our 350th anniversary in 2019. But what gifts, talents, resources could I bring to this committee? Why was I asked to join? I attended a few meetings and struggled to understand the exact purpose of the committee. But as we began to plan events, the purpose became more clear to me. We organized several public forums that explore the intersection between church and state, mind and body, history and the present. I got deeply involved in planning a dinner that the task force was organizing to encourage church members to become more engaged in Christian service. Coming from the performing arts background, having hosted, organized, and planned many special events, fundraisers, and galas, I knew I could finally use my talent and experience. After weeks of planning and many meetings, we hosted an elegant dinner in the Gordon Chapel, where I put on a chef's jacket and plated the meals. It took getting involved in this major project for me to truly understand the goal the vision gave our task force of deepening the engagement of Old South members. As I was becoming more involved in this task force, I was asked to serve on the Associate Pastor Search Committee. This prospect was a bit scary. Did I have enough spiritual understanding to make sound judgments and recommendations? Would I be able to read ministers' profile and decipher what makes a good preacher? Although these and other questions challenged me, I wanted to give back to Old South what Old South and its community had given to me, a place where God's presence is strongly felt. Serving on the Faith at the Crossroads Task Force and on the Search Committee, I have felt a sense that, along with other active members in the church, I'm doing God's work. So I continue to read countless pages of applications, listen to innumerable sermons, and attend bi-monthly meetings to help us find our next associate pastors. I do this not just because I'm a Christian and a member of the United Church of Christ. I do this because of the sense of love, the warm embrace that Tim, Emily, and I get from Old South, from Nancy, and from you, the church members of Old South.
I have to tell you, I love mission. Growing up, my parents taught my brother and I that it was important to serve. We learned to serve mostly through the church. As I got older, I learned to serve outside the walls of the church. We did parties for kids at the House of Hope in Lowell and made sandwiches and worshiped with the homeless on Boston Common with Common Cathedral. In June 2006, not long after Hurricane Katrina devastated New Orleans and the Gulf Coast, my home church invited a UCC pastor from Louisiana to preach. As I listened to his passion and anger, as well as his hope, his Katrina story touched something in my soul. That fall, I signed up for a mission trip to New Orleans. I remember my anxiety and my excitement in the weeks leading up to that first trip. You see, I knew no one and had no idea what to expect. What kind of work would we be doing? Would I even be able to do that work? But I knew that God was calling me to New Orleans, so I went. On my way to New Orleans, I had a four-hour layover in Dallas, Texas. As I was walking through the airport in Dallas, I saw signs for flights back to Boston. I thought, I could go home. Then I thought, no, you can't. There are people waiting for you in New Orleans. And more importantly, your bags are already on their way. So I took a deep breath, and I got on the plane. And sure enough, when I landed, there were Sue and George waiting for me. That first trip to New Orleans changed my life. I learned so much more than I gave. The people I met, the stories I heard, the work we did transformed me. So much so that I have traveled annually to New Orleans since. Shortly before I joined Old South, I found myself on Old South's website. I saw that y'all were planning a trip to New Orleans for that coming July. I followed your first New Orleans trips blog, anxiously awaiting each post for news of what the team was doing, a part of me wishing I was there. As I got more involved in the life here at Old South, I wanted to share and do mission work with my new church family. I was fortunate enough to go on both of this year's mission trips, to New Orleans and to Staten Island. And as was true of my very first mission trip, I think I learned more than I gave. This past year, I have learned that mission work isn't about me. It isn't about what I want to do or what I think needs to be done. Mission work is about service. It is putting aside my own expectations and being present wherever I am. It is about building relationships. It is about listening to the stories of the people and meeting God in the faces and lives of God's people. It is about building relationships with your fellow missionaries. Those of you who have been on a mission trip before can tell you this. You depart as a group of individuals, but you return home a family. I have another confession. I love technology. Before leaving on this year's mission trip, Jackie Galpis and I created Old South's We're on a Mission blog, a place where we could document and share what we were doing in New Orleans. When we left, we didn't know if our fellow missionaries would be willing to share on the blog, but they surprised us. As many of you read, they eagerly posted stories and photos about our mishaps, adventures, and tear-filled moments. We were amazed at the number of folks from all over the country who read our posts. We averaged over 1,300 hits each day. How amazing is that? This past year, the Old South's Communication Committee launched our Facebook page. If you are on Facebook and haven't liked us yet, do it. It is amazing. Our fabulous webmaster, Amy Perry, and others keep our page fresh with posts about this day in Old South's history and reminders of our weekly worship services, with beautiful pictures of our building and congregation and links to videos like the Old South Ringers performance of Coldplay's Clocks. Our vision calls us to be Christians in formation, to be a sanctuary in the city, and to live our faith at the crossroads. It challenges us to participate annually in a mission trip or service opportunity, to serve others of different cultures while exposing ourselves to transformation. Mission challenges us to live out the gospel and allows us to encounter God in new and exciting ways. Our vision calls us to exploit technologies and visual media so that visitors can experience the presence of God and strangers can see past this daunting building into our vibrant congregation. As a member of the Communications Committee, it is our responsibility to help you, Old South Church, communicate all of the wonderful things that are happening here. We are a vibrant congregation doing fabulous things. Let's share this. Let's be God's voice in this crazy world. Let's talk about it on Facebook, write about it in our new monthly publication, watch and listen to it via our videos and podcasts. I want the world to know what I know, that Old South Church is amazing, that the Holy Spirit is alive and well in this house of God and in each one of us. I love mission and technology, and I love Old South Church.